Hey, remember back in 2024 when then-candidate Trump was rather ambivalent about releasing the Epstein files?
Would you declassify the Epstein files?
Yeah, I would.
All right.
Yes, I would. I think that less so because, you know, you don't know. You don't want to affect people's lives if it's phony stuff in there because it's a lot of phony stuff with that whole world. But I think I would.
And then remember earlier this year when now President Trump was rather angry about people caring about this Epstein guy.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein? This guy's been talked about for years. You're asking, we have Texas, we have this, we have all of the things. Yeah. And are people still talking about this guy, this creep? That is unbelievable.
And then remember when Trump called MAGA stupid for caring about the Epstein hoax?
Their new scam is what we will forever call the Jeffrey Epstein hoax. And my past supporters have bought into this BS, hook, line, and sinker, the president wrote on Truth Social.
Mr. President, I know you want to...
And he didn't stop there. Here's the president's reaction from the Oval Office Wednesday.
It's all been a big hoax. It's perpetrated by the Democrats. And some stupid Republicans and foolish Republicans fall into the net. And so they try and do the Democrats' work.
And then remember when the DOJ and the FBI released that bizarre unsigned finding that Epstein trafficked children to no one, he blackmailed no one, and he totally killed himself?
The DOJ and FBI later said there was no incriminating client list, no credible evidence Epstein blackmailed anyone, and the report confirmed he died by suicide in 2019.
Well, guess what? The Epstein files are about to be released. So what does that mean exactly? Well, it's not what you think. Let's take a look.
You're listening to The Corbett Report.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back to another edition of The Corbett Report. I'm your host, James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, coming to you, as always, from the sunny climes of Western Japan here in November of 2025, with episode 486 of The Corbett Report podcast, Donald and Jeffrey's Wonderful Secret. All right, so in case you hadn't heard, there are some developments that are taking place even as I am recording today's episode surrounding Jeffrey Epstein. And to put this in context and to frame our investigation today, I'm going to take a cue from an email that I received recently from Justin, who writes, James, what are your thoughts on the Epstein files? I feel it is a psyop to mislead on both sides of the paradigm. I'd really like to hear your thoughts as these files are being released, quote, in quotation marks, and read like some internet arg, which I assume means argument. All right. Well, thank you for that question, Justin. And if I have understood it correctly, I think it's a valuable question to be asking because obviously, for those who have been paying attention, yes, the Epstein files has been a source of consternation and interest for some time now. And what do or don't they contain and what will or will not be released are important questions. But just to put this in context for everyone, yes, in case you hadn't noticed, the Epstein file question is very much back in the news.
This morning, the House is poised to move forward on a vote that would release files related to the sex trafficking investigation into Jeffrey Epstein. It comes after months of resistance from Republican leaders and the White House. President Trump not responding to ABC's questions about the files during an event last night.
Mr. President, why won't you order the FBI to release the Epstein files?
It comes as thousands of newly released documents were made public by the House Oversight Committee, which includes Trump's name coming up repeatedly in Epstein's messages. In a 2017 email to former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers, Epstein writing, quote, I have met some very bad people, none as bad as Trump, not one decent cell in his body, so yes, dangerous. In a 2018 text to an unidentified person, Epstein writes, quote, I am the one person who can take him down. Trump and Epstein were friends for more than a decade. Trump, who has denied any wrongdoing, says he broke off the friendship when he learned Epstein and his accomplice, Ghislaine Maxwell, were luring away women and teenage girls who worked at Mar-a-Lago. In a 2019 email to author Michael Wolff, Epstein writes, Trump said he asked me to resign. Never a member ever. Of course, he knew about the girls as he asked Ghislaine to stop. Now, 218 lawmakers, including four Republicans, have signed a petition that will force a full House vote to demand the release of the Epstein files, the newest member of Congress becoming the final signature.
The timing of the 23,000 emails that were also released right around this time really put an exclamation mark on the need to have this transparency and for all of the files to be out in public.
All right, there you have it, folks. As you now know, yes, the Epstein files are about to be released or something like that. But wasn't there just a release of something? What's going on here? What can we actually sort out? Well, let's see if we can get to the bottom of this. And there are a number of things that are developing and that are on the plate right now. So we're going to have to dig deep to find all of them. And we're going to start by taking a look at a recent article from The Courier, thecouriernewsroom.com specifically, which talks about we created a searchable database with all 20,000 files from Epstein's estate. What? The files are already here? Well, some files have been released. Just earlier this week, the U.S. House Oversight Committee announced a massive document dump from Jeffrey Epstein's estate, including thousands of emails discussing a wide range of topics, including women blackmail and spending the holidays with Donald Trump. Now, if you have had a chance to take a look at these files, you will know that they are a total mess. And just like the JFK files from earlier this year, remember that release, which we went over in a previous edition of this podcast, just like that one, this is too a hot dumpster mess of just files that are randomly linked up and that have no particular title or not arranged in any particular way. So Courier News has apparently taken it upon themselves to create a searchable database. Yay, wonderful. So how does this wonderful search tool work? Well, you go in and you see the big mess of files and you search the documents for a keyword or a phrase, like, say, Trump. And you're going to get every single document that has the word Trump in it, which is going to be thousands of them. But certainly not every one of them is some big expose of Jeffrey Epstein releasing the details on Donald Trump. Many of them just seem to be news reports that mention Trump's name or things along those lines. Anything that has been scooped up in this particular document release, which happened last week. So make of that what you will. And if people find hidden gems in there, great. I would love to hear about them. But it's going to be needles in haystacks. So what else do we actually know? And what can we actually say for sure that we know about whatever Donald Trump Jeffrey Epstein connection exists? Well, we can, of course, say definitively that, yes, Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein were friends in the 1990s. They did party together, and everyone has seen that famous footage by now of Donald and Jeffrey laughing it up at some party surrounded by various women, etc. And we know various details of Donald and Jeffrey and Glenn and Melania all together. And there are varying accounts of who introduced whom to whom in what day and what have you. But at any rate, we know that that photographic evidence of that those power couples exists. We, of course, also know the infamous quote from New York Magazine from 2002 that's been bandied about quite a lot, specifically the quote about, "I've known Jeff for 15 years. Terrific guy. He's a lot of fun to be with. If it is even said that he likes beautiful women as much as I do, and many of them are on the younger side. No doubt about it. Jeffrey enjoys his social life." Yes, we all know that that quote from 2002 does exist. And we do know that Epstein and Maxwell were Mar-a-Lago members and that they did recruit underage girls for Epstein's operations from there. We can take that directly from Virginia Roberts Giuffre herself in her own words, writing about that experience. We can talk about other connections that happened in the first Trump administration. For example, we all know by now that Trump's labor secretary in his first term, Alex Acosta, was the one who signed off on Epstein's sweetheart plea deal back in the early or in the 2000s, back when Epstein was first arrested for soliciting underage prostitutes. And he got that sweetheart deal and everything got swept under the rug. And he got a little slap on the wrist because of the plea deal that he managed to make with Alex Acosta. And Acosta, we know, said he was told to leave Epstein alone because he, quote, belonged to intelligence. That was widely reported for a number of years. But then, lo and behold, wouldn't you know it, Acosta has done some testimony, which eventually came out months later, that has confirmed that no, he completely denies any alleged Epstein intelligence ties. So for those who didn't see that, the full transcript of Acosta's September 19th testimony has been released. And he says, Steve Bannon has publicly stated that you told him that Epstein, quote, belonged to intelligence. Do you ever recall speaking to Steve Bannon about Jeffrey Epstein? And ultimately, he says that he denies that there was any intelligence link, or he was told no knowledge as to whether or not he was a member of the intelligence community. But he says he was not told by anyone in intelligence to lay off him. So make of all of that what you will. But of course, the orgy of evidence does not stop there. We can talk about Bill Barr, and who was, of course, the U.S. Attorney General under Trump in his first administration. But his father, Donald Barr, also seems to have a curious relation to Jeffrey Epstein. Donald Barr being a, at the time that Epstein was being hired in the summer of 1974 to work at the Dalton School in New York City, a prestigious school for which Epstein had absolutely no qualifications. At the time, the headmaster of that school was Donald Barr, the father of future Trump Attorney General Bill Barr. Okay, so what on earth do we make of that relation? Well, we don't know exactly if Donald Barr was the person who actually interviewed Epstein and or hired him. We know that Barr left in the fall of in the summer of 1974 to take a different position at a different school shortly before Epstein actually started working in September of 1974. But at any rate, there is that connection that their paths did seem to cross at the Dalton School in the summer of 1974. And we also know, although Snopes, the good old fact checkers at Snopes, do their best to try for some reason to sweep all of this under the rug and downplay it. But we do know that, yes, Donald Barr, that Donald Barr, absolutely did write a bizarre sci-fi novel about intergalactic slavery, including intergalactic sex slavery of minors and raping minors, called Space Relations. So there it is on archive.org, guys. Go read it for yourselves. I have not read it for myself yet, but I'm sure there are many nuggets to be found in there. But we don't have to stop there. We can, of course, point to other mysterious things. Oh, it should, of course, be pointed out that Bill Barr, the son of Donald Barr, was, as Trump's attorney general, the one to sign off on Trump, on Epstein, totally killed himself, guys. That was exactly what happened. Don't worry, guys. All done and dusted. We arrested him. He killed himself. Done. So again, make of that relation whatever you will. We know that Trump did, when Ghislaine Maxwell was arrested, wish her well. Not once, but twice. He doubled down on it. Yes, he absolutely does wish Ghislaine Maxwell well. And, well, she is doing well at this point, because, of course, we know she was arrested and sentenced for trafficking underage girls to no one, apparently. But we do know that she is now at Club Fed, or should that be Camp Cupcake? Ghislaine Maxwell allowed unlimited amount of toilet paper in Camp Cupcake Prison, in which she's apparently writing letters talking about how much she's enjoying her new stay in her new digs. And oh, by the way, her fellow prison inmates are petrified of Ghislaine Maxwell and the power that she seems to wield over this minimum security prison that she's been shoveled off to as she woos Trump for an early release. And why on earth would she expect that? Oh, that's right. Because, of course, as we all remember earlier this year, Ghislaine Maxwell, who wants a pardon, says she never saw Trump in any appropriate setting. Wow, okay, perfectly on the level there. What level? I will leave you to decide for yourself. And then, of course, we know about the wonderful secret behind A Pal is a Wonderful Thing, the Trump Epstein birthday letter, which was first reported on as something that exists, but we don't have it, and was, of course, immediately denied. That's totally a fabrication and hoax. And then it came out. Oh, here it is. And I don't think the official line anymore is that it's a hoax. I guess we'll have to wait and see what the official line is. I don't know. Someone can inform me. But anyway, here it is. Voiceover. There must be more to life than having everything. Donald. Yes, there is. But I won't tell you what it is. Jeffrey. Nor will I, since I also know what it is. Donald. We have certain things in common, Jeffrey. Jeffrey. Yes, we do, come to think of it. Donald, enigmas never age. Have you noticed that? Jeffrey, as a matter of fact, it was clear to me the last time I saw you. Donald, a pal is a wonderful thing. Happy birthday, and may every day be another wonderful secret. Ah, what a wonderful, loving, touching birthday letter between a couple of friends. Anyway, again, make of that letter what you will. We just know that it exists. So does that mean that maybe Epstein has some dirt on Trump? Well, let's ask Mark Epstein, brother of Jeffrey Epstein, who alleges an FBI cover-up, and who also says, yes, they have dirt on Trump. Or Epstein had dirt on Trump. Specifically, Mark Epstein, the brother of convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, tells News Nation that his brother revealed he had dirt on President Donald Trump. And interestingly, in the same article they report on, I've been recently told the reason they're going to be releasing these things, the FBI files that they supposedly have, and the reason for the flip, as in, we're not releasing them, okay, release everything, is that they're sanitizing these files. He says, there's a facility in Winchester, Virginia, where they're scrubbing the files to take Republican names out of it. That's what I was told by a pretty good source. All right, believe a brother of convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein or not, but that is the allegation. And it absolutely, whatever you think, whatever it has, Trump absolutely did not have sexual relations with that man, Bill Clinton. No, there is that email talking about, does Putin have the pictures of Trump blowing Bubba? But that's not that Bubba, guys. It's totally a private individual that you wouldn't know about who was named Bubba. So maybe that was some sort of joke about Lewinsky. Maybe it was a joke about Glenn Maxwell's horse. Maybe it was some real thing. Maybe it was. Who knows? Will we ever know? That's really the question. But don't worry, guys, we're about to find out, because the Senate has unanimously approved a bill to release the Epstein files. Great. Wonderful. Finally. Exactly what we all wanted, right? The Senate has just agreed by unanimous consent to approve the House-passed bill to require the Justice Department to release all unclassified records and documents related to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein upon receipt of the legislation from the House only hours after the lower chamber voted 427-1 to approve it, sending the bill to President Trump's desk for a signature. Great! Release the files! Release the Kraken! It's coming, guys! Just maybe a little problem with that. Remember what Mark was alleging about the cover-up that's going on right now where they're redacting all the names? No, they would never do it. Oh, wait, they totally would. The FBI redacted Trump's name in the Epstein files, according to Bloomberg, saying the Bureau's FOIA team, tasked with conducting a final review of the records, blacked out the names before higher-ups said last month that releasing the documents would not be appropriate or warranted, in which you can read the entire report, but the bottom line is the FBI's behind-the-scenes decision-making suggests that the chances of aliens resurrecting JFK are greater than Trump's name ever being unredacted from the Epstein files. And just backing that up in a more serious tone, Ken Klippenstein has this up: national security blocks Epstein files release. The one word preventing transparency, where he points out there's one awkward word in this valiant effort to get the files released that is actually in the act itself, the Epstein Files Transparency Act, specifically Section 2, release of documents relating to Jeffrey Epstein, subparagraph A. In general, not later than 30 days after the date of enactment of this act, the Attorney General shall, subject to subsection B, make publicly available in a searchable and downloadable format all unclassified records, documents, communications, and investigative material. Yes. We all know what that means, of course. Oh, we can't release that particular document. We have to black out that name. We have to take that information out of the files. That's classified. So we already know. I mean, right there in black and white, we know that this is not going to be the uncensored release, even if they have not already scrubbed from existence any of the actual real documents. What documents are we talking about anyway? Because we also know that in the initial raids of Epstein's New York mansion and his other residences, we know that there were binders full of CDs with data on them documenting name plus name, redacted names, obviously politician plus underage girl, etc. We know that those exist. We at least know that those are those being released. Obviously, they wouldn't release the actual images themselves, but some information about those. Oh, I am going to hold my breath and wait for that, but maybe not wait too long for that. Anyway, the information that has been released is out there. It's in a searchable database. There is more on the way, but can we trust it? This is getting back down to the actual question that Justin is talking about, and in his initial suspicion that there may be some sort of psyop going on. Well, I don't know. Why don't we settle this once and for all? Let's just ask Donald what he thinks about this, all of this brouhaha.
Mr. President, what did Jeffrey Epstein mean in his emails when he said you knew about the girls?
I know nothing about that. They would have announced that a long time ago. It's really, what did he mean when he spent all the time with Bill Clinton, with the president of Harvard, who you know, that is Larry Summers, whatever his name is, and all of the other people that he spent time with. Jeffrey Epstein and I had a very bad relationship for many years. But he also saw a strike because I was president. So he dictated a couple of memos to himself. Give me a break. You got to find out, what did he know with respect to Bill Clinton, with respect to the head of Harvard, with respect to all of those people that he knew, including J.P. Morgan Chase.
Sir, yeah, Jennifer, go ahead. Go ahead.
Quiet, Piggy.
Venezuelan, sir, you've had a lot of meetings.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, okay, maybe we're not going to get too much out of the Don himself. But what about, as you may have heard from various people donning the red MAGA caps in recent days, weeks, and months, now that Epstein is, I guess, no longer a hoax per se? Yeah, release the files. Who cares? Because what about Clinton? Yeah. What about Clinton? I mean, again, there's new revelations, fresh revelations telling us what we already knew and suspected for a long time anyway, coming out on a daily basis now, like this recent post on Epstein emails with ex-Obama lawyer claim he stopped talking to Bill Clinton for mysterious reasons. Any guesses? Yeah. Okay. All right. And what about the ex-chief executive of Barclays Bank, Jess Staley? Banker admits sex with Jeffrey Epstein's employee. But don't worry, it was one of his legal employees, not an underage employee, so not a big deal. You might have seen just recently, Larry Summers, who, again, this isn't new news. We knew he was connected to Epstein, but now we have more details as more of their email correspondence is coming out, and it turns out Larry Summers was seeking Jeffrey Epstein's advice about how to woo or bed some sort of Chinese intelligence operative, ? At any rate, some weird shenanigans going on there, and it looks like he's now starting to suffer some professional consequences for this as Larry Summers steps down from public commitments after emails show friendly relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Well, I think it shows a bit more than that, but that's about all you're going to get out of the lying liars of PBS. So, well, okay, who else is going down? I mean, we could talk about a million people who we already know. Ehud Barak, who has spent plenty of time with Epstein and was in the Black Book and all of that, and various assorted others who have been photographed with Epstein around Woody Allen and Bill Gates and everyone else. But, oh yeah, there was somebody else who suffered pretty drastic consequences recently for his association with Epstein. Oh, right, formerly Prince Andrew, who is no longer a prince because of his association with Epstein, as things finally begin to catch up with him. And there is an in-depth, and I don't think it offers any new insights or information, but it's a good roundup of information about the Andrew-Epstein relationship that was posted up by the Gray Zone recently, the intel scandal behind Prince Andrew's twisted Epstein exploits. As I say, I don't think there was any breaking new revelations in here, but there's quite a few links to a lot of reporting that's been done in the past by Whitney Webb and others that gives a better handle on that relationship and the nature of it and what was behind it and some of the background. But actually, maybe it's just that headline itself that starts to open a window into the bigger question involved here, because yes, we are concentrating on all of this Democrat Republican squabbling and these lower rung politicians and others who may or may not be implicated in this or that scandal. Okay, I'm not saying that's not important at all, but I'm saying it might be missing the forest for the trees. And then what are the trees? Well, the intel scandal behind Prince Andrew's twisted Epstein exploits may give us a bit of a handle on this. Oh, that's right. Maybe this isn't about left-right phony wings of the same bird of prey, horse squabbling and trading, what have you. No, maybe this is about something deeper, like a deep state slash intelligence operation that we know that Epstein was neck deep in. And how do we know that? Well, we know that from a number of different sources and a number of different angles, which we will get into. But it does, of course, even the question of the deep state slash intelligence operation angle does raise the question. Okay, so if Epstein was a deep state operation, who was he working for? Well, I don't know. Let's turn to Dana Bash of CNN for some outrage about a possible suggestion of who Epstein might be working for.
Okay, so on that, I do want to ask you about something you posted just yesterday on X. You questioned who and what country is putting so much pressure on Trump to keep the Epstein files hidden. And you included a picture about donations from pro-Israel lobbying group at AIPAC. What are you trying to say there?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's the question that many Americans are asking, especially when we saw information recently come out in these emails that the Oversight Committee that I serve on has released. And we saw Jeffrey Epstein with ties to Ehud Barak. We saw him making business deals with them, also business deals that involved the Israeli government. And seems to have led into their intel agencies. And I think the right question is to ask is, was Jeffrey Epstein working for Israel? And I'm proud to say I don't take money from AIPAC. I don't take money from any special group of people. I'm just representing my district and the American people. And so that's what I was referring to.
I just want to be clear. Are you saying Israel is pushing the president of the United States to cover up the Epstein files? And what evidence do you have that that is the case?
I simply just asked out loud, is there a foreign government? It could be any foreign government, but is a foreign government pushing to keep this covered up? Because people just don't understand the big fight against.
Well, you had AIPAC up there. It was pretty clear which government you were talking about.
That I'm questioning that government in particular and questioning any other foreign government.
Oh, right. Israel, the whole Israel thing. Oops. Yeah. Dana Bash wants you to know she's absolutely just boggled by the fact that Marjorie Taylor Greene could suggest such a thing. Why would you even post that? Do you have any evidence? I work at CNN and I've never seen any of that. Oh, that's probably why you've never seen any of that evidence. For people who are interested in that story and that particular intelligence angle, then you might be interested in the recent reporting at Dropsite News, which has an entire Epstein and Israel series that they're releasing seemingly on a daily basis at this point. The latest, as I am recording this, Jeffrey Epstein pursued Swiss Rothschild Bank to finance Israeli cyber weapons empire. But they also have many other reports besides. Israeli spy stayed for weeks at a time with Jeffrey Epstein in Manhattan. Jeffrey Epstein helped Israel sell a surveillance state to Cote d'Ivoire. Jeffrey Epstein and the Mossad, how the sex trafficker helped Israel build a back channel to Russia amid Syrian civil war, and Jeffrey Epstein helped broker Israeli security agreement with Mongolia. Again, the idea of an Epstein-Israel tie should not be new news to anyone who follows sources like the Corbett Report, or sources like, of course, Whitney Webb at Unlimited Hangout, who's been writing about this for years, first at Mint Press News and then at Unlimited Hangout, and of course, documented in her 900-page, two-volume tome, One Nation Under Blackmail, which I will once again commend to your attention. I hope that people in my audience have that incredible resource at their disposal, because it has many, many, many more specific and documented connections between, say, Epstein and intelligence and Epstein's circle and network and intelligence agencies than you could shake a stick at. So once again, I will just direct people to that particular book, which documents it all in great detail. But I think this is where we start to end up when we start to really look at Justin's suggestion from the initial email that prompted today's investigation. Is this all a psyop? Well, I wouldn't say it is all a psyop. I think that the deep state would prefer that these types of blackmail operations remain under the covers and don't get this type of attention. But when and if they do get out and there is attention that is being placed on it, of course, they have 17 ways from Sunday for sweeping it under the rug, spinning it around, making it into the left-right game. Oh, it's all a Democrat hoax and all of the other games that will be played to distract you from the real angle here, the real actual crux of this issue as to what kind of blackmail and is working here. For what intelligence agencies, for what purpose, and what other things was Epstein involved in besides? Because he was involved in a lot more than the prurient sex scandal-related details that are the ones that get all of the attention in the press. So if you would like at least a window into that, I will, of course, exhort you to read One Nation Under Blackmail, but you might also want to consult the conversation that I recorded with Whitney Webb almost exactly 3 years ago on her book and what it entails and what kind of information is involved in the Epstein scandal in a larger sense. And that is an incredibly important hour-long conversation that I hope you have seen before. And if not, please do watch it. If you have watched it before, maybe refamiliarize yourself with that conversation. But let's just take a look at the very, very, very end of that conversation where I ask Whitney to do the impossible and summarize her investigation into Epstein and the real meaning of the Epstein network in a few minutes. Now that we've spent the better part of an hour just picking at the surface of some of these connections and hopefully giving people an idea of how much material is contained in this book, but not really, because you won't get it until you get the 900 pages. But and now that we've done that, now in a sentence or two, summarize for us, who was Jeffrey Epstein? Who was he working for? What was he doing?
Okay, Jeffrey Epstein was as much a financial criminal as a sex criminal. There's a very particular reason why mainstream media only wants to talk about his sex crimes between 2000 and 2006. Jeffrey Epstein was also not an anomaly in the network in which he operated. Numerous people engage in sex blackmail and sex trafficking. If you think these issues died with Jeffrey Epstein, you were sorely mistaken. But one of the reasons Jeffrey Epstein is really important is because a lot of the situation in which we find ourselves, whether it's impending economic collapse, transhumanism, all sorts of this stuff, he had his hands in those pies and a lot more. And if you were to pull on the Epstein thread, I guess you could say, you start to unravel a lot of the bigger picture, and a lot of what is going on right now has its origins decades ago. And basically the people running the show here and that were, that Epstein was fronting for, it's intelligence and organized crime, but it's a symbiosis of those two entities that has become so interconnected. They are one and the same, and these are basically the people that are running most governments in the world today.
That is, once again, the encyclopedically informed and incredibly intelligent analysis of Whitney Webb. I hope people have checked out her work in general at Unlimited Hangout, and of course, her two-volume work, One Nation Under Blackmail, in particular. But that, again, is just the summarization of what was in that conversation, 1 hour of conversation, and in terms of the book, 900 pages of well-documented and footnoted material. So obviously that's just the encapsulation. But if you want what this really is about, not the surface level stuff and the party politics nonsense that we're going to be distracted by the Dana Bashes and the other mainstream Mockingbird repeaters out there. No, not that story. If you want the real story, that is a source where you can start to uncover what the real story really is and who the real players are, what their connections are, how they're linked together, and what they're actually involved in. Hint, it isn't all about the Democrats trying to take down the Republicans or something along those lines. So, no, long story short, I am not expecting that the full details are going to be released. Oh my God, the Epstein files are about to be released and we will learn everything. No, one can assume that these files have already been thoroughly scrubbed and will be even further redacted based on national security excuses. Having said that, I'm sure there will be some tidbits that are left out. They don't call it a limited hangout for nothing, because of course there will be something to put out there, and I'm sure there will be juicy details, but the real story will doubtless remain covered under many more layers. So the real question is, what's next? Well, I would say that one thing that I will offer on the table is that obviously this is really just the entree into the conversation about the real Epstein story. Now that we have decided that, yes, to a certain extent, there is a type of psyop that's being played with this story, at least a distraction that is being attempted to be run in the party political system over this story. So now that we know that there is a deeper story and it does involve intelligence and deep state operations, then obviously, you know, in future episodes and work, I will explore those questions in greater detail. So look forward to that. I will also note that Epstein Justice by Nick Bryant, the organization that Nick Bryant has put together that I've interviewed him about a couple of times on Solutions Watch. I hope you are familiar with Epstein Justice. I'll throw the link into their website if you are not. I note that they are, as I am speaking, holding a Zoom webinar right now where Nick Bryant is going over the case and more details about it. And also, I believe, launching some sort of new campaign from Epstein Justice, hopefully to bring more attention to the real details of this case. I will inform and update you on that as more details become available. But I also think that there is, at the very least, as I say, I think the deep state would prefer these types of operations to be covered up and basically the old media paradigm where they could just call it conspiracy theory and wave it away. Nothing to see here, folks. Don't worry about any of this stuff taking place behind the scenes. Don't look behind you. Look at the shadows on the cave wall. That's the only thing that matters. No, they don't want people looking behind and even blinded by the light, sort of vaguely seeing something moving around back there. Wait, I think there's people back there. I don't think these shadows on the wall actually are reality. They assume would prefer us not to see that. And guess what? People are seeing it. And I don't think that this is the great awakening that will change and transform the world, but it's a start. And as some small, tiny example of that, I'll point people to the rap.com, which just posted this up from Sharon Waxman of Waxword, who writes, "The Epstein emails show that conspiracy theorists are right. Eyes Wide Shut is real." And, well, okay, welcome to 2015 at this point, or whenever I started talking about Epstein, let alone back when Nick Bryant was releasing the Black Book, even before that point. But anyway, here's Sharon Waxman on the scene. "The shocking revelation in the trove of 20,000 emails from the sordid world of Jeffrey Epstein is not that crimes were being committed. It's more sinister. The emails are disturbing because what they reveal, and in fact prove, is that conspiracy theorists are right, that their theories or full-on corruption in the upper spheres where power lives are valid, that the Eyes Wide Shut cabal of political and financial interests married to sexual deviance depicted in Stanley Kubrick's 1999 film is not, in fact, fiction. It is reality. So often journalists like myself attempt to demonstrate to family members and voters in the far reaches of the country, you know, flyover country, away from centers of power and money, that their conspiracies are false. The politicians are flawed, but that corruption is not the norm. It isn't how we all operate. But the Epstein emails suggest otherwise. They suggest that, in fact, there is a widespread code among people with power and money who support one another. They are pals, no matter what side of the aisle. They are in the club, no matter the sins of their members. Transgressions that get contextualized, explained away, understood." All right. Well, thank you, Sharon Waxman, for joining reality, conspiracy reality, that is, many, many, many years too late. I'm not exactly holding my breath that suddenly Sharon Waxman will be on the case and digging up deep under the surface level of political party politics that's dangled out in front of us, digging under the state to find the deep state. I'm not going to assume that Sharon Waxman is going to be doing that in the future, or any of these other mainstream liars who have been gaslighting you for decades, if not centuries. There's nothing to see here. There's nothing going on. Don't worry. That's all crazy. Oh, you think Eyes Wide Shut is real? Well, no, actually, I think it's worse than Eyes Wide Shut. At least that was adults in Eyes Wide Shut. This is about underage girls being abused. And if you had said that even a few years ago, let alone a couple of decades ago when that movie was released, you would have been called a crazy, wild-eyed, crazy conspiracy theorist. There's nothing to see here. Well, now Sharon, you can all relax because Sharon Waxman has finally agreed that conspiracy theorists are right. Anyway, as usual, don't give into the gaslighting. If you can know and document something and you've seen or experienced or have documentation on it, you do not need to wait for the establishment to tell you you're right about that. In the exact same way, we don't need the establishment to confirm that, oh, by the way, Epstein had intelligence ties, he didn't kill himself, and he was running a blackmail operation, which I think will come out eventually. But will it come out in time for any actual justice to be done? Let's find out. And as I say, let's keep an eye on the Epstein Justice Organization and what campaign they may be launching as a result of this renewed interest in the case. But anyway, thank you for the question today, Justin. I think it is a good way of framing this. As I say, I don't think that the Epstein case is a psyop per se, but I think it is going to be spun into unproductive areas if we are not careful. All that being said, I hope that this exploration at least puts some further meat on the bones for those who are looking for more information about this case. And if you are, of course, you can go to the show notes for today's episode at CorbettReport.com. And there are many, 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 many links to the many, 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 many articles and videos that I've cited today that will further inform you on these matters. But that's going to do it for today's exploration. Thank you for investing your time in today's episode. And I look forward to talking to you again in the near future.
The deep state. False flags. 9/11 truth. The Federal Reserve. Secret wars and hidden histories. Fake news. Medical martial law. Ceaseless propaganda. James Corbett. Reportage. Essays on the New World Order. Available where books are sold. Until they're not.
Reportagebook.com.